Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
King Pound.
In a world.
Shut the hell up.
Where Carolina Panthers fans.
Anthony from Charlotte, keep motherfucking pounding.
Have an insatiable thirst.
I need to see a lot more of that shit going forward.
For Panthers news and opinions.
All my C3 brethren from the C3 Legion.
Only one podcast roars ferociously.
The longest running Panthers podcast on the internet.
It's the C3 Panthers podcast.
Well, Greg, I owe y'all $100, man.
What's up, Panther fans? You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Tonight's show, Panthers tackle Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, week two of the preseason, as the Carolina Panthers come off a pretty dismal, embarrassing loss in preseason game one against the New England Patriots, unable to score a touchdown. Hopefully, one day we will see this Panthers offense do something, but there was over 30 people out in that game. So some kind of interesting circumstances with dismal or bad weather at the same time. The Panthers hope to rebound against Aaron Rodgers, who's looking pretty good right now from what I can tell in Jets camp. And this is the second year we'll be entering joint practices with the Jets. So we've got that. We've got potential draft busts that are looming. We're already starting to look at names of guys who might not even make the team at some point that were drafted or potentially continue to let us down. And Adam Thielen says that Bryce Young's starting to settle in and get things, feel a little bit more comfortable. Maybe the game's slowing down. So we'll have that plus your thoughts, the latest news and opinions from the fan perspective. My name is Tony Dunn. We don't have the wheel man here tonight, so I'm going to have to go to the voice that makes a moist. Eternal Optimist, CK, welcome to the C3 Panthers podcast.
Man, just happy to be here with the fellas. Again, we finally have football. Was it the brand of football that we were all hoping to see? No. I mean, it's one of the only teams that didn't have their quarterback playing, even in preseason week one. But it is what it is. And so we are here and we are trucking along, and we're going to see this team start to have these joint practices and see what type of a clip they can get out of it, similar to the Brian Burns clip last year. And, see how these guys do, man. It's last year, obviously, the game was pretty bad when we actually got the preseason game against the Jets. So we'll see how they handle it this year.
Man, I tell you, that game last week wasn't that good either. It was tough to watch in some cases. But again, we're trying to remind ourselves that so many of the people were out, and that we didn't play some of that offense. Will we get to see that offense? We better start to get to see some offense. We better get to see some of these starters against the Jets. I think that was the plan all along. But we got to do my man Cody Lack his homage. He's not here tonight, so I'm going to fill in the best as I can. Roll call, Red and White Bills. What's good with you? Kristen Butler, Blind Panther Vlogs, Salesman. What's up? I heard them talking about you on WFNZ on Monday morning. C3J Dyson, Charlotte Sports One. Look at these. I love to see the C3 super fans Sean, my trainer's in the house. Sean taking off C3 on a Tuesday. Tim Estes, Billy Hall, George Marcello, Kristen Butler. I think that's about, oh, the real AP and Panthers Gal 73. Oh, the brand ambassador here, Kevin Hubbard. Ain't nothing but to do it. Let's roll. The number is 252-228-5098. We want to get you your opinions on the Panthers preseason opener, what to look for against the New York Jets. Are you scared and terrified of Aaron Rodgers in that offense? Or do you think that the Panthers can find some footing in week two? Greg, the bat daddy, the stat daddy, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, man. Look, glad to be here. Tuesday night, my favorite place to be. Looking in the chat right now, looks like everybody's loving the new intro. And yes, Pickle, C3 Legion is in the intro. That's kind of a little homage to you guys for how great of fans y'all are. And basically, this show is made by the fans, and us being here is just simply for y'all. And y'all make it such a good time. And I'm ready to talk some Panthers football, man. We are so close to football season and so close to fantasy football. I'm more excited for fantasy football this year than I am regular football right now. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a fantasy football draft as we speak in a keeper league right now. All right, let's see. Let's start with this. Let's go ahead and get into the show. The Carolina Panthers last week on Thursday, August 8th, who went on the road to New England. The weather was terrible, man. It was, I guess, the remnants of maybe a tropical storm or just the fucking hella rain that we've had here on the East Coast for the last 3 months or 2 months, it feels like. Carolina Panthers struggled on offense, were unable to put up a touchdown, lost 3-17 or 17-3. The Patriots won. The Patriots did start some of their starters a little bit, played some of their players. The Panthers were down 40 players or something crazy like that. Strangely, Brady Christensen had to play the entire game because of injuries on the offensive line, as well as sitting some of those starters. But, man, that offense did not look good. And on top of that, the Carolina Panthers did not score a touchdown, nor could they touch down on the runway as they flew back to Charlotte. They couldn't even get a touchdown at the airport, guys. Boy, that game, CK, how much of it was able to stomach?
I mean, I watched I ended up falling asleep on this one, to be honest with you guys. I fell asleep, like, in the middle of the third quarter or something. It was a snooze fest. I mean, there was nothing we were really going to gain from it, except for seeing TMJ and Mingo drop, pretty decent passes. And when that happened, it was like, oh, this seems eerily familiar to last year. So, I'm hoping that we'll see them turn things up a little bit. But again, preseason game one, third string quarterback, basically fourth string offensive line. I'm not overly concerned about what we saw. It is what it is. And we'll move on and we'll see how they move forward this upcoming week against the Jets.
I tell you one thing is that we've said that over and over. Doesn't mean anything, doesn't show us anything. And then I look around the league and I see other teams looking good in their preseason debuts or moving the ball. Let's talk about the two things that stuck out to me, and you brought it up, the offensive line. Right there were zero starters on the offensive line. Brady Christensen did play every snap. The Panthers had a lot of trouble last year protecting Bryce Young, and they went out and upgraded at the guard position, landed two free agent guards, and are hoping to solidify that line a little bit for Bryce Young. Now, without those starters, though, boy, are there any red flags that you have for how bad that offensive line was in this game, despite not having the starters? Because to me, it just comes up this, is at some point your starters are going to get hurt. At some point, the depth is going to have to play a role. And I got some questions about the depth and the players in this offensive line unit and how they're going to hold up. I think Cade Mays now is dealing with an injury as well. How are the Carolina Panthers? How are they just better on paper, or are the Carolina Panthers going to be better as a unit on the offensive line?
I think as of right now, we're just better on paper. The issue I have with no stars in the offensive line, I mean, I'm not sure about the injury situation with it and everything, but even offensive linemen say that they gel better the longer they can play together, which is why it's so important to get reps together in a real game. My biggest irritation with not starting any starters at all in this game, basically, and I mean, the ones we did look bad. I mean, we're going to talk about Mingo later. What I saw didn't give me any hope going forward about us being better, because the offensive line looked like trash. I mean, what, we have 5 sacks that we gave up? And granted, it was backups. But, I mean, there's nothing they showed me in the first game that makes me look that makes me happy about what's going on. I think I saw one good run play the whole game. Beyond that, there was absolutely no explosion on offense. The team didn't look coherent at all. They didn't look like they were ready. I mean, it looks completely different than it does in training camp, like I told everybody about getting riled about training camp. You know, in training camp, we look great because they're not hitting and they're not playing 100%. But they really need these reps. I don't care what anybody says about injuries. We need to see starters out there for at least a couple of series so they can get some 100% real game time reps. And that's all there is to it.
I don't agree with the mindset that you shouldn't play starters at all during preseason. And when you talk to the greats and the people like, you know, Bill Belichick talked about Tom Brady on Pat McAfee, he said Tom Brady wanted to play in every game. And so, and he actually said that if they want it more, they want it enough, they're going to be out on the field. And so that's, you know, that's kind of my mindset. The greats want to be able to develop this chemistry and what have you. Game one, week one, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
Week two, go ahead. Like, yeah, if they're not playing Bryce for the entire preseason, then that tells me they have bigger red flags on this team than they thought, than they're letting on to the public. If not playing Bryce tells me that you're not convinced this offensive line is what you put the money into it to be. So we'll see.
Sean taking off, by the way, Takeoff Fitness, Greenville, North Carolina, Save My Life can help you. Does also virtual training too. So you can hook up with him and check out his YouTube channel as well. He said, let those starters get out there on the field and find some chemistry and make some mistakes now. You can get hurt in practice. He references some big names like CMC and Gibbs, both hurt in practice. Now, that game, the weather wasn't a good situation. So, not like if there is a game where you don't want the guys going out there and trying to find a rhythm, that was the week that you didn't want it to happen. Now, as we looked over, we heard the darling name that has the Panthers have been hyping up in training camp. Or at least a lot of people were trying to find some a silver lining in. We're trying to bring back Mingo Bingo. And Jonathan Mingo had a drop pass. I mean, how many opportunities can you judge in that weather right there? Drop pass there. And one other player, was it?
Terrace Marshall.
Terrace Marshall Jr. So the second round wide receivers continue to be absent or underwhelming for the Carolina Panthers. If you think about it, we've had zero luck in the Panthers' history in picking a wide receiver in the second round. I wonder when Mohsin Mohamed went, but Brandon LaFell is probably the best wide receiver we have picked up in the second round out of all of these guys. I think Curtis Samuel was a second round pick. I'm just glad we traded up for Leggett into the first, because if we would have gotten Leggett in the second, I'm starting to think he wouldn't pan out either. What is going on? Terrace Marshall Jr., Jonathan Ming. I'm tired of hearing Terrace Marshall Jr.'s name. I don't want to be mean to a person. That sounds so terrible. I saw somebody on Twitter just a little while ago saying we should send Terrace Marshall Jr. and Adam Thielen to the San Francisco 49ers because they want a wide receiver back. And I was like, who the hell was going to want Terrace Marshall Jr.? What kind of trade value? Your thoughts, look, is Mingo, can bad play, disappointing moment? What do you think there?
Well, first off, Moose was a second rounder. Just looked it up. So he was a successful second rounder.
He's our best one.
But look, I don't like using the idea of it was raining, so you know, we kind of give him a break. I mean, these are professional players, and those gloves basically have super glue on them.
Yeah,
there really should be no reason that a professional wide receiver is dry. Every once in a while, I get it, but when you're trying to make a name for yourself and you're trying to prove that you're the guy that this guy that this team's going to use going forward, I mean, if you only get what 3 passes thrown to you and you drop one of them that was dead in your hands, it was a perfect pass right in your hands. I mean, we gotta think about that as something bigger than just the rain. I mean, it's going to rain during games. I mean, that's part of the season. I would rather the team play in tough conditions in games like this where they're practicing, because if you do really well in tough conditions, then it should be way easier on a clear day.
When can we get excited about a player, CK?
Can't. Dude, it's It's going to be when a player actually excites us. I mean, really, that's the bottom line. I mean, we've all been jaded too many times when we get super excited about a specific player, DJ Chark, or, I guess any host of these guys, Miles Sanders, even for that matter. You know, we get so excited and then we get just knocked down about five pegs when the season starts and you realize how much of a team sport this really is. And so, you know, it's if you don't have a good team, man, it's going to be hard to be a good player to make people excited. And so we'll see, man. I'm optimistic that this team will be better than what people are expecting it to be based on what they're seeing in training camp and in preseason, or at least preseason season or week one. If we start to see some of the same struggles we saw last year in the preseason from Bryce in this offense, then yeah, you know, maybe some panic buttons should be pushed. But until that point, man, I'm rolling with this team and I'm excited to see what they're able to do.
Tony, I'll tell you one thing to get excited about. What's going to make me really excited? When I see a big play touchdown, the first bit, not like a run from the 2-yard line or something like that. A big play touchdown is going to make me excited. One thing we can be excited about, I guess, is the Panthers did score 3 points, which is three times their average over the last three games. They're averaging 1 point a game for the last three games. So we tripled our average in one game. I mean,
look at this. C3J Dyson, thank you very much for the C3 bomb. $9.99. Very generous. Continue, guys, to help support the show through super chats like this or smashing the thumbs up button or just being a part of the conversation. J Dyson says this. What if it's not just the line Canales is worried about? What if he's not ready to throw Bryce to the fire yet? Maybe Bryce isn't making Canales confident yet. Well, I tell you one thing is you're not going to ever find out from a Dave Canales press conference because everything is roses. Everything is golden. He loves the effort. He loves the guy's physicality in the practice. How long will it take for the Dave Canales, AKA, what's the Ted Lasso effect, to wear off under these circumstances? I don't know. Got to have some optimism. Don't panic right here. But are there concerns, or are we just excited because we put some people on paper now and we're getting our hopes up again? I feel like I'm with you, CK. Is like, I think this team is better. How much better than last year? I'm not certain.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where you see a lot of guards that do a very good job in the systems that they were brought up in, and when they change teams, they become not so great. And so as an example, I'll even throw out there is who'd we have? Andrew Norwell.
Or Andrew Norwell.
You know, he was a great player for us. Great player. He goes to the Jags. He becomes a Jag, you know, just a guy, as Panther Pickle would say. He wasn't like it's so much that I think is dependent upon scheme that it's like we could find out that these guard signings that we have just don't fit what we're trying to do. And it may not be great.
We got to be better. We got to be better there. But
I'm hoping I'm just expressing. I just want to set the expectation that it is hard for a player to go from one team to the next after having a great year and continuing that success. Unless you are a superstar, it's a difficult thing to do.
Maybe I should blow this thing every time we get a super chat.
Wow! 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 Wow!
That was weak. I can do better. All right. Now, speaking of Bryce Young and how he is handling this, this is Adam Thielen had a lot to say about him, or at length talking about it. Talking about he sees him a little bit more comfortable. This is Adam Thielen from Monday. He says, I think it's just him feeling really comfortable and trusting in it. Thielen said of the difference in Young in this camp and last, maybe some of those throws he wouldn't have even attempted last year. I don't know why, but I would imagine a lot of it is just more comfortable in the system and what he's doing in his footwork. I don't know. I'm not his head, but that's what it feels like to me, just comfortable in what he's doing. His reads are how he's progressing, and then just trust in that we're going to make those contested catches. We need to continue to do better individually. I need to do better at that just to help him trust that he can throw it when there is a defender on your back, that we're going to still make a play and come down with it. talking about coming down with it or returning. Xavier Leggett is back at practice after, I guess, is it a foot? Has it been a foot? Something with his foot, CK?
So that's what they said. Like, there was a fear that he had broken his foot of like, and that came back negative. So we're good.
He returned to practice on Monday. So that gives us some help there. Before we move on from this, is I wanted to address my bastard son, Kev, who is stuck. I think he's still stuck at work in the flood. You flipped to the defense, who was also missing a lot of people, or Shaq Thompson returned. That's another guy who returned to practice today. But look, there were some plays that Lamar Jackson, cornerback Lamar Jackson, and Dane Jackson and Jammy Robinson made out there. So hopefully we're going to find a guy in that secondary. We know that Cody does not like Dane Jackson just because of his name. Lamar Jackson out there making some real plays. Yep. When you look at the defense, we were playing one of the worst offenses in the NFL from last year. They did put out some of their higher-end players and that quarterback, I think, that they drafted late, I think. We saw Drake May for a series. How did you think that Panthers defense was looking, continue to struggle, find a pass rush? And I mean, but again, no starters.
I mean, it's you look at the secondary, there was some positives there and all of that. Nothing burger. I mean, we could talk about putting, you know, some respect on the name, but unfortunately, these cornerbacks were not covering anybody of note, and their quarterbacks were Drake May and Jacoby Brissett before they came off, and so I'm not it's not something I'm ready to, you know, say that I'm super excited about this CBs in this performance. It's nice to know that they didn't look horrible against, you know, the team that they were facing.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't terrible. There were a couple of bad spots, but you're not going to play perfect every game, even with an elite secondary. I did have an issue. I can't even remember which guy it was. I'm sure somebody in the chat will say it. There was one guy who one play was talking all kinds of trash over a ball that he was beat on that was just thrown too deep, and he was talking trash like he had anything to do with it. And then two plays later, he gives up the biggest play of the game. So I would hold off on the trash talking if I was a secondary right now, especially being preseason and especially because you guys didn't do anything really elite in that game. No turnovers. I mean, it was an okay
big
game.
Play on that Jacoby Brissett. I think it was, I don't know if that was Dane Jackson, Lamar Jackson. I'm going to have to learn their numbers just because it says Jackson on the back, but looked like he was beat, kind of face guard and turned around at the last second. Ball was kind of, the receiver didn't come back to it. That was a Jacoby Brissett deep pass on the first drive. That was, it was just decent. Man, hey, if we're going to give all the other guys a pass for this not meaning anything, at least we can clap a little bit about these guys playing decently in a game that didn't mean anything. So, you know, hopefully, like Kev has been saying, that this defense will be a little bit better or maybe a pleasant surprise. We're not as bad as that we were thinking. The number's 252-228-5098. You're listening to the longest running Panthers podcast, the C3 Panthers podcast. We want to get your thoughts on the Panthers preseason opener, as well as what to expect going forward when it comes to this Carolina Panthers game. Now, let's see. Why don't we hold on 1 second? You guys cover me for just a second, please. All right.
Word.
Open.
I got something to talk about.
Yeah.
CK, did you notice on the uniforms, did the blue look, I mean, I know they were talking about changing the blue to the process blue. Did it look significantly different than the uniforms tend to look?
I wasn't paying too much attention, to be honest with you. Okay. I don't know. I mean, in person, you know, at the practices, they didn't look crazy, but they weren't wearing, you know, they were wearing just the black and the whites.
Okay. It looks so royal blue to me. Like, I mean, I get they're trying to change the process blue, but like it looked, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's been so long since I've seen them wear the white uniforms with the blue trim. It just looked so much different, the color. Yeah. So I don't know. And can we please get rid of those glitter helmets?
Oh man, I would like for them to get that matte black one, dude. That'd be sick.
Yeah. I mean, or even if they just change the glitter out of the helmets. You know, like there's no reason to have that shiny glitter in the helmets. It looks really weird. And maybe in 95 it looked okay, but right now, man, teams are having better looking helmets throughout the league. And I don't know why we only have the one helmet. We have a bunch of teams that have multiple helmets, man. Right. These are things that I think the team needs to consider for the fans. You want to bring fans into the stands, you've got to start doing stuff for the fans, like scoring touchdowns, looking good on field, all that kind of stuff, because
yeah,
paying the salaries, we're keeping the stadium running.
There is a part of this that is, we have to, like, if you're an offense, and we'll talk about this real quick, you talk about scoring touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a team, like an owner, a coach, you know, yes, your priority is to win, mm-hmm. but your priority also is to provide entertainment to your fans. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, we get excited if you win, no matter what the score is. But I tell you what, there is going to be a pretty big disappointment if you're winning 7-3, right? Yeah. Whereas we would much rather this be a high scoring game and see these guys take some chances. And it feels like so far with the very vanilla offense that Canales is calling in the preseason and what have you, that it's just very conservative. It's mm-hmm. almost like we just want to be rhythmic. We want to try to just get those 5 yards, get those 10 yards, and that's it. And so I would, the thing that I hate is it doesn't feel like there are drawn up deep opportunities with what the offense we've seen. Mm-hmm. So we talk about Bryce not throwing the ball deep. I think that there's like a lot of times with those big, deep balls that we're talking about, you know, that sounds dirty, but you know, when we talk about it that way, like most of those are designed plays to be a deep ball. Right. And for me, it feels like designed plays that we have are all short to intermediate, you know, passes just based on preseason one. And anything that is deep is kind of like the third read. And that's a concern. I think that you have to be able to have an all in play where you're going to say, if this is the look I get, I'm going to this guy regardless. Yeah. And, you know, like Adam Thielen was talking about, let these guys go up and get the ball. So you've got to be able to start to excite this fan base, because it's not just about wins and loses, especially now. It is about at least having a group of people that are paying your, you know, the bills in the Panther, you know, Bank of America Stadium to be excited about something, to want to go to these games, to fill those stands up, because the more pride we have in this team, the more money we're going to spend on this team, and the more presence you're going to have with our fans in your stadium, allowing us to actually have an actual home field advantage again.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if people are going to talk about the preseason as not meaning anything as far as record goes and everything, then you should be taking this opportunity to try out those kinds of plays. We were 2nd and 16 running balls up the middle, you know, and it's like, why? Why are you going to put yourself in a position to be 3rd and 14 or 3rd and 17? There's no point. And then after you do that, you throw a short pass for 5 yards. This is the time when you try those plays, when you figure those things out, you work out the kinks in the system. This vanilla offense is something that I was really not looking forward to. I was hoping Canales was going to give us some more flashy plays. The NFL is built to have big offensive plays now. It's made it so simple, or not simple, but made it much easier to have high-scoring games, because that's what they want. It's what people want to see. And for some reason, Carolina just can't hop on that train. I don't know what's going on.
All right, so the Panthers start joint practices on Thursday with the New York Jets. Second year in a row, Aaron Rodgers back throwing some dimes to Breece Hall. Who's the other guy? He's got a cool handshake with Garrett Wilson as well.
Michael from Chargers. What's his name? Is he
Mike Williams?
He's playing Mike Williams. He might not be playing yet.
So the Panthers have this joint practices. Last year, we thought we were going to. What can we learn from this opportunity as the Panthers head into week two of the preseason?
My hope is that we're able to actually see progress in a way that's tangible from Bryce, because you can actually look at, now maybe not necessarily in the joint practices, being that we don't have actual access to that, but you'll be able to actually see in that preseason game what he looks like this year compared to what he looked like last year against the exact same scheme of defense with many of the exact same players with some additions. And so we'll see, man. That's if they're going to be playing Bryce. If they don't play Bryce, that is, again, that's a concern to me. You can use that concern as a concern for Bryce, or it's a concern for this offensive line, but it's one of those two things, and that's the only reason you sit Bryce out of this preseason game. That's it.
Well, do we have any idea of what offensive line starters are going to be even available for the next game? Because, if they're injured, okay, we can't play them if they're injured. But if they're just not playing them because they're not playing them, then, yeah, we have a problem here.
Yeah, they're just not playing them to not play them. Like that, at least that week one. And so all the injuries we have on offensive line have been second and third string or fourth string. And so, yeah, if you're not playing him and playing those starters, like especially as you know, you talked about, Greg, if these guys need to be able to understand how to communicate in a real game time situation and not letting them actually hear how you're going to call plays in that type of environment when you don't know what the other team has and what they're going to be willing to do, I think that is everything this team needs. So that's where the value of the preseason comes into play. Again, I want to make this abundantly clear. I could care less about week one. Week one preseason, him not being there, matters so little, I don't even care. Week two, week three, now we're starting to get concerned.
How much do you expect us to see of these starters in this game?
I think you should see at least a quarter. And that's because in most cases, the third preseason game is you see your starters for a half.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to ease them into it, you put them in there for a quarter. And then that way you get that, and then you ease them into the half, and then you're getting them into full game regimen after that. So I think, if he's not playing at least a quarter, I don't know what the heck these guys are doing. Because, you can't tell me, like, the argument now becomes, like I said, I had no opinion about last week, because, again, I don't think that matters. But you cannot tell me that you look at this team and see, Pat Mahomes going out there and playing, you see Caleb Williams out there playing, you see all of these other, quarterbacks out there playing, and you can't tell me that there's no, that there's a concern, or that you have no, maybe even just a little bit of a tingling concern when it comes to Bryce not playing.
All right. Thanks for everybody hanging out with the C3 Panthers podcast. We're live every Tuesday night. We'll have post game show throughout the season, as well as the Friday free for all, where you could be a host of the, or at least throw your, it's like a Royal Rumble for Panther fans to get up here, and a Royal Rumble of podcasting and discussion. I'm sure that one was lively this past Friday after that snooze fest of a game that we called the first preseason game. Nothing to worry about. I just want to see something better. I don't know what I'm excited, what I want to see. I just want to see something better. I'd love to see this Panthers team just look competent sometimes, but we want to get your thoughts on what's going on with this team at this point, what you want to see from the Jets and the Panthers in these joint practices, as well as what your thoughts were on the game. We'll start with thoughts on the game. Let's go to the cat calls. The number's 252-228-5098.
So what are your thoughts on cat calling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think cat calling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like a 3 and a 4 and a
All right, Tony, get it together.
Yo, it's Lou from Fort Myers, and no crazy introduction because I'm pissed. It's giving Frank Wright vibes. I'm not fucking with this shit. It's giving fucking Matt Rhule vibes. I am not fucking with this shit. Some of y'all may say, oh, it's just preseason, this and that. No. Because if you want to really count preseason and fucking regular season last year, we was 2-18. Scoreless. Goose egg. Motherfucking God. Motherfucking damn, bro. I want Joe Milton now. Bro's looking like prime Cam Newton. What the fuck? I can't, bro. Mingo dropping balls. I'm glad they got him out of there. TMJ dropping balls. Okay, you can say it was rainy. But then again, we had number 29. Let me make sure. Deshaun Jameson getting cooked on almost every fucking play. O-line can't block for shit. We got veterans like Cade Mays and Christensen making fucking false calls. Getting flagged on. So many damn penalties. So many mental errors. Are we a 7-on-7 team? Because that's what it's starting to look like. We are a 7-on-7 team because I don't know. Because the iron ain't sharpening iron. This is like glass sharpening glass, and we just keep fucking breaking more. It's not giving keep pounding. It's feeling like we're getting pounded on. 0-17. I didn't even watch the full game. I turned it off once we had that final drive. Jake Plummer, trash. Get him the fuck out of there. How does New England have four quarterbacks that can start on Oakland? Please, someone explain that. But no reps with Dalton. Understandable, he's a vet.
He's hurt. He was hurt.
Our other two quarterbacks, we couldn't find nobody else better. Like, ISM dropping third down. We were 1-for-12 on third down. And this is the offensive-minded coaches that y'all want? Fuck no. Give me a defensive-minded coach. Should have kept me with Steve Wilks. We'd never be losing games. Fucking scoreless, bro. This is ridiculous, yo. This is ridiculous. Screw these offensive-minded-ass coaches. Give me a defense.
All right, your reactions on that first, and then he's got a part two.
I mean, I think that I don't want to invalidate his feelings, but I also think that it's an overreaction.
Right.
You know, granted, this is how our offense looked in the preseason week one last year as well. I don't think it's worthy of panic mode. Yeah. Again, if we don't see progress week two of preseason, week three of preseason, then we have a concern, right? Mm-hmm. This is a first-time head coach with a lot of people in positions that they've never been in on this staff.
And with a quarterback position of two guys, we don't even know their fucking names.
Right, two guys that are barely on the bubble. If that, like, you know, if as what we saw, these guys are not going to be here, you know, next by the, you know, 53 man cut.
Right.
It's not worthy of panic at this point in time. I think you can still be optimistic about this team. If you're somebody who loves the Panthers, it's fine to be cautiously optimistic, you know, but it's still okay to look at it and say, like, maybe this team will still be good. Maybe we'll see something more out of them next week. But if you have the mindset of this team is trash and I'm, you know, nothing's going to change, then, I mean, I think that, you know, unfortunately, I'm a believer in self-fulfilling prophecies. And so you believe the Panthers are going to be bad. They're going to be bad. I'm hoping that that's not the case. So I'm going to continue to be optimistic that we're going to see some progress. And this team is going to show us that they're on the right track. It may not be, you know, at the end of the track, but they're going to start to show us some signs that they're going to get back to that that level of Panther football that we all expect.
Nothing yeah. to look is that all the points is I agree. Look, is 40 players, like basically the entire squad that we want to play with on Sundays did not play in this game, except mm-hmm. for maybe a handful of people a little bit. But while we don't want to invalidate those concerns or fears, belie, I guess, might be a word. I don't even know if that's the right one. The problem isn't that one game in isolation, CK. It's not the preseason that 1 week of preseason matters. It's a continued cloud of failure.
Absolutely.
That has just lingered so much. So I think it's like, it's kind of hard to just separate that one game from last season. It is a new season.
100%.
They're going to say 1-0, we're 0-0, we're 0-0 this week or whatever. And we heard that all last year. Panther fans are just yearning for something positive other than, don't worry, Dave Canales is singing Bob Marley, Three Little Birds in the rookie. Did you see that?
Mm-mm. Oh, did we actually, did we have video of it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
let me see.
I didn't know that.
I can find it. Hold on. Let me, this is a perfect time for this. And, I had it up earlier. Oh, here it is right here. It's the first one. All right. One. Well, bear with me. Bear with me. All right.
No sign book. Rise up this morning.
Okay.
Smile at the rising sun. Three little birds.
Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Right. Singing sweet songs, a melody's pure and true. Singing, this is my message to you.
Somebody sing now.
Singing, don't worry about a thing.
He's on brand. Don't worry about a thing, because CK and Dave Canales say everything's gonna be all right. No, that was Dave Canales having fun with the team. Everything's gonna be all right, guys. Everything is going to be all right. Probably not with Lou from Fort Myers as we go to part two of his call. Let's see.
This is Lou. I'm back for a part two. Like I was saying, bro, give me a defensive-minded coach, because this shit would never be fucking happening, bro. Getting cooked on some double routes. It didn't work the first time. Oh, let's hit him with it again. How the fuck you fall for the same trick twice, bruh? We still can't tackle, still can't stop the run. The fuck are we paying you zero for? It's preseason, it doesn't matter. Bro, this game is like any other game. You gotta take preseason like it was the regular season. If this was me, fuck it. Starting one, go out there. Let's motherfucking score, bro. Because this is no, bro. This is fucking ridiculous. What? Do we still have the same offensive line? Please, Cody, CK, Tony, look this up. If we have the same offensive lineman coach from last
year, we don't.
That man needs to be fired immediately. In Florida, we call that nigga grits, bro. He is done, cooked, fired immediately. Not even terminate him from the NFL. Immediate team seller. He's got to be having parlays. He's got to be betting against us. There is no way that our offensive line is this fucking bad, bro. There's no way. Defensive line can't get any pressure either. Like I said earlier before, it's just glass freaking banging on glass, bro. This ain't no iron sharpening iron. This, bro, I can't, bro. Oh, I'm going to tune in. Thank y'all. And for those who sat there and suffered like I did, I was thinking maybe we could pull up second in the division. But after watching this shit, we're going back to 2-15. Let's be fucking for real. We're going back to
season over.
This is worse than Frank Reich. Scoreless. Not even a motherfucking field goal, dude.
Nah, we got one at the end.
Come on now. This shit is fucking bonkers. I don't know. I'm flabbergasted. I don't even know what word to use, because this is ridiculous, bro. Y'all have a good night.
All right, thanks, Lou from Fort Myers. He asked who the offensive line coach was. I don't know. What was it? Who was the guy last year? It was the guy that was real fun to listen to on the mic. Cameron?
I'm convinced Cameron, we didn't have one. They just let the guys go out there and do what they wanted to
James.
Do.
James, now we got Joe Gilbert. Joe Gilbert came with Dave Canales from Tampa Bay. I had a friend who was talking about, is Dave Canales too nice? Right? He's upset. You know, he was upset in the wake of this game, like Lou from Fort Myers is. Don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. He asked this. Can you imagine Dave Canales chewing out a player?
I can't yet.
A player's ass or something. Right? And then, well, maybe he doesn't have to. He leaves out of the guy, all these guys right here. I think Harold Goodwin and Joe Gilbert are the ass chewers out of the group. When it comes to just looks alone. Run game coordinator. That guy, Harold Goodwin, he looks like he could chew a guy out.
Yeah.
Joe Gilbert, chew some guys out. We're going to need you to toughen this team up if Dave Canales is playing good cop. We're going to need a bad cop here. Let's go to John B. Jenkins for a Euro football update.
Hey, Panther Nation. It's John B. Jenkins here with your weekly European League of Football update and the update on your favorite team in that league, the Panthers Wrocław. Well, the freaking Panthers lost 36-34. That's the end of the update, John B. Jenkins. Just joking. It was a very exciting game. They did lose, of course, because they are the Panthers. They lost 36-34 in the first four overtime game in European League of Football history.
Wow.
It was very exciting. Our emergency quarterback, Josiah Norwood, the UCLA wide receiver, now turned quarterback. He did get 84 yards passing and one touchdown, but he did put 131 yards on the ground rushing. A.J. Wendland had another A.J. Wendland day with 17 tackles. Dude should have no problem taking the tackling crown at the end of the season. Zozo, our running back, David Bozowski, got 188 yards and three touchdowns on the ground, had an awesome stiff arm of one of the better defenders in the league. And then, of course, Devin Burrell, our eighth special teams player, got another return touchdown. That's the update of the Wrocław Panthers. I don't even know who they're playing next week. We got two more games left in this season. I'll tell you who the Carolina Panthers are playing this week. That would be the New York Jets. And I have club level tickets. First time I'm ever going to be sitting in club level tickets, but my wife's friend has club level tickets and they're not going. So we're going to go. We're going to have a blast. Just want to see a victory. I want to see some good football. I know we're not going to see Bryce. I don't even know if we're going to see the O-line, but I really want to see some offensive production. I know our defense looks good, but I want to see something out of the tight end. I want to see some backup offensive linemen do well. That's about it. Really, it's the offensive linemen and then, of course, the quarterback.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
We're not going to see it all this preseason. That's really all I'm worried about this season, is offensive line and quarterback play. I really think that'll get us over the hump. Anyway, that is your update. This is John B. Jenkins. As always, keep pounding Carolina Panthers, keep pounding Panthers Vrashlaw, and keep pounding C3. John B. Jenkins out.
That's awesome. I've got Madden 25 up and running now. I did a simulation for this season with the current roster that we have.
Yeah.
12-5.
Way to go, Matt. 12 touchdowns? 5? No,
12-5 on the season.
Yeah, but didn't Madden simulation also last year also say that Dak Prescott was going to throw for 7,000 yards and 52 touchdowns?
Oh, maybe. I can't remember that.
Yeah, like
Greg's dogs hate that fucking prediction, that's for sure.
I just looked at this. Sorry, I had to say it. That was incredibly unexpected. And the funny thing is it wasn't on the back of Bryce Young. It had him.
Andy Dalton.
He was still our quarterback, but he had 3,700 yards, 19 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. So it wasn't that. It's got to be our defense, I guess.
Maybe Jonathan Brooks had 9.
Jonathan Brooks had 10 touchdowns.
There you go.
But he only had 472 yards, though. So they must have, like,
what'd they do with Deontay Johnson?
Deontay Johnson had 764 yards, 5 touchdowns. Adam Thielen had 825 and 7 touchdowns.
Whatever.
Leggett had Madden no touchdowns with 726 yards.
Madden don't know shit.
Shaq Thompson, I'm trying to see if there's anything like that sticking out as to why in the heck they've got us like so ahead of the curve on this. They have A'shaun Robinson getting 15 tackles for a loss.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Anyway, sorry, I might have to do another one because this just seems
run that back because it seems like a glitch in the matrix. John B. Jenkins.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Who were the 5 losses to? I'm interested out of the simulation.
Hold on, I'll tell you.
Oh, and Kev wants to know how many sacks did Clowney have?
Oh, I'll go look and see. Hold on. So the team schedule, we lost to the Bengals, the Commanders, the Chiefs, the Bucks, and the Eagles. We didn't blow out anybody except the Falcons in the week 18. We've beat them 17-0. But other than that, it's been like, it was like 14-7 against the Chargers, 21-17 to the Bears, 24-18 to Falcons, 26-20, 17-14, 26-20. Yeah, it's not like we're winning convincingly, but they're the close matchups we've maintained. We lost majorly to the Chiefs 17-35 and to the Buccaneers 7-30.
Jeez, did you get the Clowney sacks? Did you say that?
Let me check. You guys can continue talking. I'll weed through all these.
John B. Jenkins, going to the Jets. Actually, I had a friend of mine ask me if he, because our friend, longtime listener, friend of the show, Susan Deans, has her club level tickets that she was giving away to one of us if we wanted them. I said no. I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to drive 4 hours for all of that to come back to the most boring game. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, just, you can, I'll watch this one on television. It's a long drive for me. It's 4.5 hours. It's a long day going back and forth. So would you go to this preseason game I think most people would say this is the one you do want to go to. Do you think you'll see Aaron? I think we'll see a little. Will we see a little Aaron Rodgers?
I think you've almost got to. Yeah. The way the season started for him last year, you've got to have him in for a little while.
Yeah, because they didn't. I don't think they played him in the preseason last year, did they?
I don't think so. Yeah, and he got injured the first.
Clowney had seven sacks and four tackles for a loss. A'shaun Robinson on here actually with the 15 tackles for a loss and 4.5 sacks.
Oh yeah, that's a good addition.
Interceptions. Horn and Troy Hill both have two. Outside of that, there is not really any
standouts.
Any standouts from that? There's Jamie Robinson had two as well. But other than that, that's it. There is nothing else that is like sticking out. I think that what it is that we probably played complimentary football. We weren't turning the ball over, at the same rate as we were scoring touchdowns. So that's good.
Did Miles Sanders or Chuba Hubbard have more yards?
Miles Sanders, I think. Let me check. Rushing. Chuba Hubbard had 687. Miles Sanders didn't even get many touches. He only had 25 attempts with 75.
Jeez.
Now, I don't know if that's injury related or not.
Oh, good old good old Madden simulations. You know, John B. Jenkins asked about the Panthers or one, some of the things he wanted to see, or mentioned some of the things he wanted to see. Talking about tight end work, right now, Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble, I believe, both dealing with some minor injuries, as well as they cut that Sullivan kid, not the one we drafted, but the one, whoever that guy was last year that caught the long touchdown or whatever. So now what we see is a guy who turned out to be the most productive player on the Panthers offense from a receiving standpoint, Jordan Matthews, former Vanderbilt star wide receiver, 31 years old, trying to be a tight end in this league. And you had you had Dave Canales saying some good things about him. He said he's doing a fantastic job. We can count on him. He's getting everything he's got on special teams, and especially just with that tight end group, just knowing you have a guy who's doing what he's supposed to do in there as we put our groups together is really valuable at this time, especially with Tommy and Ian not being out there. Jordan Matthews, I remember seeing him play at Vanderbilt. I thought he was going to be a stud as wide receiver in the league. In fact, he might have had a couple of good years early in his career. How are the Panthers ever going to get this damn tight end room figured out, guys?
We were spoiled by Greg Olsen, I think.
Spoiled? We just had a decent one?
Yeah, would like to have such a great
Great, but like is like, I mean, we've had one, like, are we spoiled? We just had a good player.
Yeah, and so we haven't had one since.
Oh, Jordan Matthews did have 872 yards as a rookie, eight touchdowns in 2014, 997 yards with eight touchdowns in 2015, all with Philly, 800 yards, three touchdowns. Then he popped to Buffalo. He's been out of the league, basically, between San Francisco, Philly, San Francisco, not playing any games, really. Now he's with Carolina trying to find his way into a new position group. Jordan Matthews was really great at Vanderbilt. I really enjoyed watching him. So we'll be looking for that. Let's go ahead and let me see if I can get another call in here. You got something to say, CK?
Yeah,
or Greg?
Well, I was going to say, you know, if you take the touchdowns away that he scored in those years you just gave us, he's Deontay Johnson.
I mean, 67, 85, 73 catches. I mean, he was good when he came out of college, 2014, 15. He had three good years. Yeah. So I hope, you know, you're rooting for a guy like that. And him being able to play special teams is going to be helpful. And look, it's not like any of those guys are world beaters at the tight end room. He might actually have a shot of making this team.
Maybe.
All right, let's go to the next call. The number is 252-228-5098.
Hey, y'all. How's everybody doing?
What's up, G?
Of RCA. Hey, man, I'm going to get this off my chest. I was not entertained or amused by our last preseason game. That game was horrible. It really was. The sicker kicker who just got cut, I heard, was it yesterday? It's the only way we scored. And to me, I don't know about you guys, but in the second game, I think the starters should play at least like 3 or 4 plays, at least, man. And I know Dave Canales is, you know, wants to do it his way because he's a coach. I get it. You know what I'm saying? But going 2 and how many losses we had or whatever last year, we need all the reps that we can damn get, like, for real. And, I mean, the defense played okay. I forget that dude's name that's coming off the edge, but he's pretty damn good, you know. And our backup defensive line fucking sucks, man. Good God almighty, man. But I know the starters are going to be a hell of a lot better. I get it and everything like that. And y'all seen it, man. Hassan Reddick wants to get traded out in New York. And, yes, I got a pipe dream. I would love for him to come back to Carolina. Oh, my God. Man, if Hassan Reddick, if we can land Hassan Reddick with Shaq Thompson and Clowney, woo, that'd be a damn blitz for your damn ass. But in reality, you probably won't be able to get him because he don't watch too much. He wants too much money. Even though we got that cap guru guy from Kansas City, you know, anything is possible. I just don't see him coming here. And I'm tired of people online saying he's going to the damn Saints. I'm not trying to hear that shit at all. I'm really not. So give me your thoughts on that. Am I looking too far into preseason football? Do you think the starters should play a couple of damn plays and then you damn pull them? Or you think they should sit out the whole preseason? Give me your thoughts on that, y'all. Keep pounding.
Now, these players need to get out there and get on the field. Week 2, this is the week for them to do it. I'd like to see a full quarter at the very minimum from our offense and Bryce Young and the starters. Let's start with Hassan Reddick, though. Hassan Reddick's saga continues. Hassan Reddick has what a bizarre story. A guy who is double-digit sacks each year has had. He was with the Arizona Cardinals, kind of played him out of position, tried to play him as a 4-3 linebacker early on. As soon as he got into kind of a stand-up defensive end outside linebacker role, he started to thrive. He came to Carolina on a 1-year prove-it deal, got 12 sacks, I believe, that season. Carolina Panthers didn't let him go. He goes to his hometown in Philadelphia, gets paid a good, you know, a little bit, or I guess gets him paid somewhat, you know, maybe 3-year deal. Then, he had 18 or 16 sacks that year they went to the Super Bowl. He had a monster year. And then the following year, they're talking about trading him. They eventually do trade him, not the following year, but this past offseason, they traded him to the Jets. And if we looked at Hassan Reddick's offseason right here, Eagles gave Reddick in February permission to seek a trade. The Jets trade a 2026 conditional third round pick to the Philadelphia Eagles for Hassan Reddick. Reddick then skips organized team activities in June, skips mandatory mini camp in later in June. Reddick posts a video in late June in Japan captioned "The Lost Samurai." And Hassan Reddick officially requests a trade from the New York Jets. How is Hassan Reddick getting all these damn sacks and nobody wants him and he doesn't want to be anywhere? I don't get it.
I don't even know. I don't know why in the first place we even let him go. But, I mean, I have to say that – or I have to think that if he's getting this much production and nobody wants him, it's got to be something to do with attitude. But he was here, and I didn't hear anything about him having a bad attitude or anything with any fighting with other players. Like, I don't understand why people don't want him.
He wants money. He wants to get paid money. And I think teams think he's sort of a one-trick pony.
Yeah. I mean,
the one-trick pony is 12 sacks. I'll take that one trick.
Listen, that's like it might be that. It also could be people aren't sure that it's him and that it's the system that he's in. I don't know. I think that's the reason that he's holding out is because he's always like he's been undervalued since he came into the league. You know, and it's not because of things he did. It's because of he was played out of position when he was in Arizona. He came here, he balled out, he earned a contract, but somehow still isn't getting paid more than Brian Burns, who has not had it near, hasn't had back, like he hasn't had nearly the 3 years that Hassan Reddick has had. Mm-hmm. Not even in the same stratosphere. So I think that's got to be what it is.
All right, let's keep going through with the cat calls. The number's 252-228-5098.
Yo, what's going on, C3? It's Anthony from Charlotte. Hope y'all boys are having a good Tuesday. It's 8:14 here in Charlotte, so just a little bit before the show, but I wanted to get in this call. Season's right around the corner. In my thoughts last Friday about the preseason, it is what it is. This Saturday, potentially going to be going to the Jets preseason game again. I did last year. Maybe we'll see something different. I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting game just to see if we can get the offense out there. That's all I got to say on that. Man, the season's, it's right around the corner, man. I wasn't thinking about going to, besides the Chiefs game, not a lot of other games, but I may look into just getting myself some tickets to, drive up to Maryland maybe and see the Commanders and Panthers game on my birthday. But that's not what this call's about. But I'm definitely excited in some ways. Obviously, I'm a Panthers fan. I'm going to be excited no matter what. I just want to call in real quick and talk about this Hassan Reddick thing. I know this is going to be a topic of discussion tonight. Listen, I love Hassan Reddick back. I was a Hassan Reddick stan. I loved the signing. I loved him in Charlotte. He fit our defense so well, even though like he was really playing out of position, if you think about it. He would play in the 3-4, he was really good, but then there were some times, Phil Snow didn't know what to do with him. But I feel like he fit Evero's system really well. You got Jadeveon Clowney. You can set a physical edge, stop the run, and still pressure the quarterback. And then you got a speed rusher on the other side who's better than Brian Burns. I think it helped a lot. But this is the reality, man. We don't have the cap space. And I understand why fans are upset. We're the worst team. We were the worst team in the league last year. Like how, that usually translates to having a shit ton of money, like the Patriots or like the Commanders. The Commanders.
We never have money.
Signed like 8 different solid players in free agency. Like it was crazy. But man, this is where Scott Bitter comes into play, man. I'm surprised y'all didn't catch on to his buffoonery later, man. Earlier, I mean. This dude was awful. He doesn't hit on draft, he didn't hit on draft picks and he gave out terrible contracts. And then Dan Morgan had to cut a bunch of players this year. Dead cap from contracts. They were just given to void years of players not even going to be here. So this is just the situation we're in, man. I'm telling you, eventually, maybe it's 2026. We're going to have a lot of money. One of these years we are.
One day.
Give me your thoughts.
Not while I'm doing this podcast. Not while I'm doing. I don't know. Basically, we don't have the money to get any of these fools. Like, we have like $6 million. And we don't even have a lot of money in the future. Let's go to Sean from Takeoff Fitness here in Greenville, Jags fan.
Check this out, man. What I saw last week from those Carolina Panthers, I'll be honest, it was a team that was just trying to figure it out, man. Like you guys were mentioning, there were hardly any starters out there. Just a bunch of second string, third stringers. Guys are just trying to make a name for themselves. But that's hard to do. We got ones with the ones. You got the twos and the threes. Like the two and the three, team, second team, third team, that chemistry not the same as the first team. So when you mix the twos and the threes, it's going to get sloppy, kind of like the USA basketball team. If you look at those guys, the first few games, you got LeBron, Steph Curry, all these guys are dogs, but their first few games, you got to find a little rhythm. And that's why I think you guys are talking about this next game up against the New York Jets. I think the first team should come out, start building that rhythm, have the first and the second, have a little combo, have the backups play with the starters so they can get that chemistry. They can get a feel of how it feels working out with the first team. How does this strong safety or this linebacker communicate, or how does this quarterback or this center communicate? That's what all these guys need to work together. But
I'm not upset from what I saw. I like what I saw, and I'm anticipating for week two to be just as nasty, man. So that's how I feel about it. Let's go, Panthers. C3, I'm out.
Nice, man. Thank you, Sean. First time caller, one of my best friends. You know, when you think about it, you got to wonder how much the second and third team guys get reps in training camp. You know, the training camp reps have to be leaning towards the people that they know are, you know, Bryce is going to get more snaps than Jack Plummer. You know, so trying to develop a chemistry there. I mean, look, is the Panthers just didn't have anybody. I didn't. CK, there was nobody. I couldn't even like name the people on the team that were out there.
No, I mean, that's the reason that I'm not, it's a big nothing burger to me. I mean, whatsoever, it has zero impact on what my opinion of this team will be. You know, we'll see, man. It's like I said, I that's all we can say is we'll see, but, you know, if that continues, once we actually see some players of value actually on the field, then, like I said, then you can start to maybe, you know, consider pressing that panic button. But right now it's just, it's a bit premature to start making judgments.
A lot of people liking what Ant from Charlotte said about let's pair Reddick with Clowney and let's go. You know, we haven't heard anything. Have you heard Wanham's name at all?
No, he's been injured.
Still injured?
Yeah.
And then you've also, speaking of, this is actually an injury we might need to be slightly concerned with. Let's see if I can put this back up here. The Panthers went and signed Yosha Ninjman not too long ago in free agency, and he's had and Dave Canales says he has a long way to go in his recovery. Now, the reason this is kind of the swing tackle that we brought in case Icky was going to struggle or if you had to deal with an injury, that this guy could play left or right tackle potentially in a pinch. So what we saw is this is that the Panthers, while we looked at their second and third stringers, we continue to wonder, does this team have any real depth? And I don't think this team is deep. I don't think this team is deep any. Actually, name a position group that this team is deep at.
Deep as far as talent or deep as far as just have a lot of players? Because deep as far as talent, there isn't one.
Yeah, I mean, the closest you could say is wide receiver, and those guys are, half of them are bums.
Yeah, well, we don't have anybody who's proven, so you can't really say there's depth there. There's hopeful depth, there's optimistic depth, but there's not depth right now. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to another call.
Yo, my C3 family. The great Tony Dunn, the homie Cody Lack. Hey, Cold Dizzle, the bat daddy himself in the building. Mr. Shut the Hell Up. Diesel Skills, my brother from another mother. The whole Panther, C3 Panther family. Legion in the building. Yo, I know we've had a lot of rush of things going on from Thursday to now that has everybody all over the place. But while I was just listening to the early portion, you know, Tony asked, when will we be excited or when can we be excited about players? And I'm going to tell you what I believe. The great Tony Dunn, the professor, the intellect. How about Saturday? Okay. Because see,
Saturday.
Yeah, that what we put out there Thursday, that's not us. It's not completely us. And it's questioned either way if it was the right decision or not. That's not what is important now. What is important is it's another week to line up against a man who is not your teammate. This is your time to show who you are. It's time for you to knock that man into the dirt. It's that time to show that energy. It's that time to keep pounding. And oh, what I truly believe is that we're going to get reports in them practices or where you're going to see some of them young pups and some of them grizzled pups, them grizzled dogs, I mean, older bits. Showing flashes within them practices. Still, you know, the Jets are already sleeping on us. And I do believe that we're going to come into that game. And Bryce is going to score. Now, this ain't no just high fan talk. I believe that this kid is going to at least give us a drive that's going to score, that's going to bring some hope. We're going to see one of them young receivers do their thing. Deontay Johnson do his thing. Maybe see something kind of steady in the offensive line. I don't know what it's going to be, but I truly believe they're hearing all the stuff that we're hearing. There's a lot of hungry dogs. That's the thing that I love about it. You see Dave clamping down on these dudes, got their lungs exploding because they're not getting it right. We are in the right position because we are not taking mediocre anymore. We are having a standard and we're building it. And that's what this is about. So look forward to this week. Look forward to this weekend. Have your trepidation and so forth. Be scared if you walk. But I just got a feeling you're going to come out a little bit more pleasant.
All right. He's got a little bit more to go. Thank you.
Because I said incremental growth. And in growth, there are setbacks. In growth, there is some pain. You've got to learn from it. Guys have got to get their head knocked around a little bit. But this is what it's all about, people. Laying that foundation. And if you thought that I was going to let that other call go without me giving you a little bit of pound. And I love every single one of y'all. 2-3, we out.
D for Sanford, man, we appreciate it. Great call as usual. Brand ambassador himself, him and DZ Skills are two of my favorite people in the world. Saturday is a day we can get excited about somebody, hopefully. Not hopefully. We're going to get excited. We're going to get excited about Bryce Young when he comes out there and he's 7-for-9 with 120 yards and a touchdown. No, maybe what would you, maybe 7-for-9? What would that be? 64 yards probably and a touchdown.
If he does that, I'd be real excited. Yeah. Hey, I'm actually reading an article from last week from Yahoo Sports, interview with Dave Canales. And after reading this, I don't think Canales is going to play him next week either. Based on what he's saying right here, he's saying there's an inherent risk of injury in preseason play, which is a significant part of why Bryce Young won't be on the field this week. Well, he says Canales also pointed out the upcoming joint practice with the Jets is an opportunity for Young to get quality reps. You can't play scared, but you got to play smart. Feel like playing, not playing your quarterback because you don't want him to get injured is playing scared.
They've got to play this week. I got to believe we're seeing some. Everybody else around the league is playing. Damn, CJ Stroud going out there and dealing, hitting 35 yard touchdown to a guy who got shot in the leg in the offseason in Tank Dell. How we miss that story? How do we miss Tank Dell? You know, Tank Dell got shot in the leg and now he's scoring touchdowns in the preseason. He's going to play. He's going to play. I can't believe that.
I think he has to also, but this just the way it sounds, it's hard to tell tone from just reading this interview. But I mean, the way it sounds, him pointing out upcoming joint practice with the Jets is an opportunity for to get good quality reps. I hope he doesn't get injured in the practice.
Yeah. I know you get injured anyway. We got to see it. We got to see something. So. This Panthers team has got to put some out. They got to get some reps. They got to get some chemistry. And now there are two things that can happen. You go out there and you say, we're going to play Bryce a series. He goes 1-for-3. You get out of there and you don't feel good about yourself. You tried him out there for again, or you can build some confidence and momentum in these games and get some confidence in the team itself. You get a little confidence from Dave Canales, play calling plays. You get Bryce gets a little bit more confidence. He's kind of putting last year in the rear view. We as fans get more. We need to see them a little bit.
When do you think we'll know? Like, when do you think they'll make the announcement?
They'll tell us Friday.
Think so? Wait till Friday? Wow.
After practice. Well, we have they can't have Thursday. What, they only have one joint practice?
It says they play on Saturday. Yeah. He said it's going to be a fantastic day. So I'm assuming they have one joint practice.
Okay. So we'll probably find out Friday. Like to see. All right. Let's, go to the next call. By the way, here, I think we're going to get a little kudos here.
Gentlemen, first of all, congratulations. YouTube C3 Panthers Podcast, 6K subscribers. So congratulations on eclipsing 6,000 subscribers. And if the Carolina Panthers ever return to their winning ways, get the core of the team, and they could build something special, make a Super Bowl run, I think that's going to be 10,000 subscribers. So congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
And I have a question for you. We're in the preseason. They're not showing much in the preseason game. They really don't matter. Like 90, not 95% of the roster is already settled already before training camp even starts. So these preseason games, they don't matter. It's just a way to get more money from ticket holders. But anyway, I do have a philosophical question for you too. Which do you think is worse? Worse as far as morally and fiscally wrong, bailing out student loans, like government paying off student loans for someone who went to an expensive college to get a useless college degree and they can't pay it back, or paying these billionaire owners money to pay half or most of stadium or new stadium costs or stadium reservation costs, which is effectively a bribe for them to keep their team in the city they're located. So what are your thoughts, gentlemen? Bye-bye.
That's a good question.
I don't know if it's a good question. It's kind of like a impossibly difficult and complicated question.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult and complicated.
I would say the first one is worse.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first one's worse as well.
Because it's more. It's just more money. It's just more money, though. You know what I'm saying? Is at least you can see, like CK says, is you can argue that there's economic development that comes with helping these with like these attract, like the Panthers bring Charlotte money.
I love the argument, you know, and here's the thing. People could feel how they feel. And again, I don't want to invalidate people's feelings, but the approach that I have to life, and I think many of us should, is, you know, there's a story, a parable, whatever you want to call it. You have a guy who is, who has this beautiful boat, like just an incredibly expensive boat, right? And somebody sees this boat and says, I wonder how much money you could have, or how many people you could have fed with that money as opposed to spending it on a boat. And the person who bought the boat says, well, I fed plenty of mouths with this. I fed the people who built the boat, the people who fixed the inside of the boat. I fed the people who sold me the boat. There's probably millions of families that are involved in this from start to finish that I fed. That's the part of capitalism, right? So that's part of this as well, is the idea that the money is going to billionaires. Sure, you can look at it that way, but you also have to look at it from the economic development of Charlotte. Charlotte, you know, has been one of the fastest growing cities in the entire United States since the Carolina Panthers came to Charlotte. I'm not saying it's because solely of that, but it is a contributing factor when you have a team that has, when you have a city that has an NFL team, it is naturally going to have a growth to it. That's why you see, you know, many of these cities bend over backwards to bring them in or to keep them there. So, to be completely honest with you, without the Carolina Panthers, Charlotte will survive, but it won't be nearly as profitable as it is now.
Well said.
All right, let's go to the next call.
Yo, what's good, C3? It's JD, Justin Young.
What's up, bro?
I was calling in, tuning in to the show. Feels like first time in a long time, but just wanted to throw this out there for Panther fans that are overreacting, the few that actually might want to listen to it. If we go with the number 40, saying that there were 40 guys that played in last week's preseason game, of that number, half, if we just stuck with the 40 guys that played last week, half of those dudes would make the team. And of that number, only a portion would actually be active for game day. And of those players that would be active for game day, they would be special teamers or backups. So what you saw last week was a starting offense, the initial 11 that went out there for offense, defense, and special teams. All but two players are currently listed as starters. That's Mingo and Jackson. I can't remember which one.
Probably Dane.
To my knowledge, those are the only two dudes that are currently listed as starters that played in last week's game. So the execution of the offense looked like it did, because Plummer, if we ever reach a point in the season where Plummer is expected to start, we ain't having a good season.
That's the damn truth.
My personal opinion is they should just go ahead and drop him and let Luton take over. But that again, it's just my personal opinion. I can't comprehend why people are spazzing to the degree that they are. Like, none of the guys that we saw last week are going to be starters. Like, at least you shouldn't want that to be the case, right? You want quality backups, and defensively, we look sound. Offensively, it left a lot to be desired. So I can understand the worry about past regimes, but you have to also understand that this isn't right. This isn't rule. We're not going to have answers to these questions until the season starts. I can understand people wanting to get some good news to see something, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, we ain't got no choice but to trust that Canales knows what the hell he's doing. So the overreactions, the negativity, that's is wild. I mean, fan how you want to fan, but y'all bugging in my opinion. That's my 2 cents. I also wanted to ask you guys the Reddit trade request from the Jets. What's your opinion? By the time y'all get this call, y'all probably been already addressed it. So ignore the question if that's the case. Anyway, I'm out. Y'all take it easy.
I want to say, I don't know. I mean, if I'm bugging, I don't mean to be.
No, I don't think any of us are.
Right. I think maybe the caller and some callers.
Yeah.
I think it's this is that that's a good way of putting it. It's like, look, when you've got 40 players that play and only 20 of those have a chance of making a team and only 10 of those even have a chance of seeing the field at all, you're talking about a distinct drop off in talent. And that's a big drop off in the NFL when you go from that. To me, though, and maybe it's not, and when you think about it like that, then we can sweep it all away. I just was hope. I guess maybe you did see. I mean, some of the PFF grades weren't terrible for the offensive line. I don't know why, right. Because it looked bad. Mm-hmm. It just looked like this is that what I saw in that game, we can sweep under the rug, or we can continue to talk about. Look, is that behind our starters on the defensive front and the offensive line? It's such a big drop off. Like, that's the thing, is just like, man, our backups aren't even good or okay in some way. So I guess that I think I was heartened by some of the secondary work, though.
Yeah. I think that I agree with the caller. Some people are panicking, and I'm not in panic mode. I have concern. I'm not in panic mode. But I think when the argument he just made, the way I look at it and the way my mind works is if you're going to talk about only 20 of these players are going to make the team, only 10 of them are going to actually be involved in the game, probably special teams, and maybe one or two of them will be involved in more plays than that. That's all the more reason to have your starters get reps, because why are you worried about guys that are going to contribute to 5% of the game getting all these reps? You need to have the guys that are actually going. That's the way my mind works. Like, there's no point in practicing with guys who are getting these reps with these guys who are not even going to be irrelevant in the game at all. And if they are, we're already screwed anyway.
And what happened last year? What happened last year in this preseason game, CK? We had the joint practices. We saw people like Brian Burns, them talking about his six spin move. And I feel like their defensive front minus starters worked our offensive line in week two of the preseason. They just, I don't even think Rodgers played in that game. I can't remember if he did or didn't. But I mean, we got 2 days with this team. Joint practices, it would be nice to go and see a quarter of competitive football and knock some of the rust off from these guys on Saturday.
I mean, it's a home game. I mean, we haven't had that, in a minute. So it may be preseason, but it's a home game. And so I think it's worthy of a show to be put on. And I'm hoping they actually follow through with that. I think that both Andy Dalton and Bryce Young should be getting playing time if Andy Dalton is back at practice by the time that starts.
All right. I think we only got one. We'll save the draft bus stuff for another week right here. We've got one last topic I want to hit on before we get the ice up picks. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show. The Panthers secondary playing with a little chip on their shoulder. And if they're not playing with a chip on their shoulder, they're putting their money where their mouth is. The Panthers DBs have a governing body in place, complete with a judge, jury, and extensive litigation, but they're not supposed to talk about it. Unfortunately, they said they're going to have to fine a player for snitching on this and letting it out. The DBs are charging each other for misplays, poor plays, and the jury according to J.C. Horn, is just 11 dudes screaming at each other until somebody wins out. And then Xavier Woods, the old man who holds the money, determines if it was fair or not over film later. J.C. Horn said he thinks he's down $300. These players are putting a little money where their mouth is. Is there any problem with gambling in this case with the NFL?
No, because it's not gambling. I mean, it's one of us not even involved in the game. Is it? They're talking about practices and everything.
Yeah, it's just like if they break like a pass, if somebody scores a touchdown on them, or if they get beat, or they make a wrong read, or they're out of position, they got to pay a fine to the other players.
Right. Yeah, it's not gambling. It's not saying I bet $100 this is going to happen. It's saying if this happens, then you got to pay this. I don't have a problem with it. It's motivation. If it's between people, you do this kind of stuff with your buddies all the time, or at least I do. In golf, especially. I mean, think about if you're playing with golf. It's a golf thing. And I don't have a problem with it.
Did you guys hear about the Patriots coach, what his rule is for fighting?
What is it?
Patriots coach, what is it, Gerard Mayo? Gerard Mayo said this, is that if there's fights in practice and it's a starter that's in the fight, they've got to play the preseason game. It's either the entire first quarter or the entire preseason game. If it's a backup, they can't play in the preseason game. That's the penalty. If you're a starter, you got to play. If you're a backup, you lose your opportunity. He ain't trying to have none of that fighting going around.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of the Patriots, you know, we did set a record last week.
With what?
We were the first team that the Patriots beat without Bill Belichick and as head coach in like 20 years.
Oh,
okay. So we'll go down the books for that. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, well, does preseason count with that? I guess. Yeah. Because he's been the coach even with preseason. Yeah. All right. That's the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. We got one final segment. We're going to ice some fools up. It's our homage to Steve Smith, where we tell someone to ice up, toughen up, to get it together. Ice up, son. You know, there's a video floating around where some guy from some NFL dude tried to say that Steve Smith got dropped at this like UFC game, like a match in the stands. And you saw this guy, the guy, whoever it was definitely not Steve Smith. Steve Smith said, "That ain't me, bro." But you could tell just from seeing Steve Smith, or not Steve Smith, this guy, like, he didn't know how to punch. And you're like, man, I know Steve Smith. That mug would not be so docile and afraid right there. Steve Smith, ice up, son. Get it together. Who we got this week? Who you guys icing up? What do you got for me?
Mine's real quick. I won't go into a ton of detail. I'm just going to ice up the UK government. If you've been paying attention to that stuff, you know what's going on. And all I got to say is fuck around and find out.
Okay.
Fuck around and find out. So we'll see.
Oh, here, let me see if this is it. Let me see if I got it. I don't know what's going on there. So, did they take it down?
They're trying to say they're going to arrest U.S. citizens and U.S. soil for a post they have on the internet. And I say go ahead and try.
Okay. Interesting. See what happens. All right. This is how the look is like, as Steve Smith said, you think all black people look alike. This is what, and this guy is Ryan Evans, who is an NFL guy. He said this. Yeah! You thought that was Steve Smith. I didn't know Steve Smith. Stupid. All right. Go ahead. Ice up to that guy. His name is Ryan Evans, ESPN.
The fact that we haven't done this is just, it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to share this, but Tony, you give me your opinion here.
Oh, can you put it to 1.5 speed the speed, and then that will.
The speed. All right. I'm not going to play sound either.
Yeah.
So hopefully there we go. That'll help. So this is Australia's breakdance, female breakdance. This is the woman that they sent to the Olympics to do break dance.
I saw a video of this with Peter Griffin's voice.
So amazing. All right, guys, here it comes. So I don't know how much of you guys have seen, but this is their break dancer from Australia. This is at the Olympics that they actually they send people in front of the world to compete. And this is who they said.
Well, I mean, first of all, I couldn't do it this good, number one. But
it
did
looks better
hear?
Sped up.
Sorry. It does look better sped up.
Better sped
right,
up.
Yeah. Actually, that's what it is. I'm like, do you know what her score was?
Zero.
A zero. Damn. This is where it gets good right here. Good Lord. All right, get this girl off my screen.
Oh,
ice so up.
That was that.
Ice up. All right, let me see if make sure I got all. I got one last ice up pick, and that just goes to this, is straight up mean people. Like mean, hateful, vengeful, vindictive, angry people. If you're that angry, and you're that mean to people that you know, you said you care about or whatever, you don't like yourself. You don't. It's not somebody else. You don't like yourself. So to you insecure people who would rather take your anger about yourself out on other people, ISA. This is C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com, where every Tuesday night we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. I do it each and every week with my homeboys, Cody Lack down below, Greg the Batman, Bat Daddy, Stat Daddy. I think it's to my, I don't know what you guys can see. There you go. And Cody Lack, taking a night off, man. Hope you're having a restful evening. And to you fans that chimed in and called in, thank you so much. We got so much coming for you, so much in store for this season. We'll see you Friday and Tuesday. Let's get out of here, fellas.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.